This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
We're halfway to the weekend, so I might as well throw this out there, folks. If you can't take in the show on a regular basis during the week, well, that's okay. I mean, we do have the podcast. You can subscribe to that. But you could also check out the best of Kelly and Ramya on Saturdays and Sundays on AMI TV. Kelly McDonald here with Ramya Muthan.
Let's get to our bi-weekly entertainment report. We do this every other Wednesday with Corinne Van Dusen.
Hi, I'm Corinne Van Dusen. Join me as we dive into the latest entertainment stories from music, television, and movies here with Kelly and Ramya.
Corinne, we're not even going to pretend because we have to talk Taylor Swift.
Shameless.
Yeah.
She's like right out there. First item today.
We're not even going to like tease and torment and will we or won't we? No, we have to. Okay. It's a must now.
It's sort of like in our book chat with Ryan when Harry Potter suddenly comes up. But Ryan tries to stuff him at least somewhere, kind of just slides out. Harry Potter.
We do that sometimes on here as well where we just slip it in. But today it's a must. Yeah. It's a must. Okay. So Swifties are rejoicing once again because on Friday she dropped her anticipated album, The Torture Poets Department, and it came with some surprises. So because the album was being released at midnight, we're like, yeah, everyone's going to stay past their bedtime to check out the album as soon as it drops. But what really kept the Swifties up past their bedtimes?
It was a surprise double album.
Ooh.
Two albums, but she also didn't release the second one until 2 a.m.
Oh, no way.
We, the Swifties, were still up, you know, deciphering, going through, listening over and over again when the 2 o'clock announcement popped up for the Tortured Poets Department, the anthology. So it was an extra 15 songs that came with that. So
that's like Drake territory now.
Yeah.
Double sides and double albums. All right.
I love that. That's wild.
She had a lot of music inside her. And, you know, she's still touring. She's still doing all that. Apparently, this album has been in the works for about 2 years. But it's called I don't know if she's said this, but online it says it's called the Tortured Poets Department. Because her ex-boyfriend, Joe Alwyn, had a group chat with a bunch of other actors and artists and such, and that's what it was called. So I thought, look at you, Taylor.
Okay. All right. Lots of collaborations on the album, which I love to hear about. So who were some of the artists?
Well, the two everyone's talking about are Post Malone. He's on the very first track of the album. It's called Fortnite, and you'll hear classic Post Malone, like falsetto and his sweet singing voice, and it goes along with hers very, very nicely. The other one is Florence Welch from Florence and the Machine. Mm. She joins Taylor on a song called Florida with 3 exclamation points. The thing about this album is Taylor's gotten a little blue. She's using a little bit more language that wouldn't be considered, you know, radio edit friendly. So Florida, you really notice it. There's still great songwriting, but usually you could just pull a Taylor Swift song and there's no warning on it. But there'll be a few on this album for language.
Interesting. And were there any other collaborations that you wanted to mention? I know you said those were the two that are being highly talked about.
Those are the main two on this one. I was waiting to see if there would be any more. I'm guessing people will pop up when she's on tour, if she adds songs from this album to her tour. But on the main album, it's just those two.
You said blue. Is it also sounding very pop? Like, how would you overall describe the albums?
I describe it as more low-key. Like, you know, she really changed from high pop into more melodic with Folklore and albums like that. That was a real changeover for her, and this is continuing that way. There's no real, I didn't find a super huge pop single, like there'll be singles, definitely. But yep. there was nothing that really jumped out as, you know, a shake it off or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. So, but she's definitely, what I would say is, opened her journal and just, like, you know, put that into music.
And
I love that.
That's
I love that because it's nice to be at that stage in your career. Just let's do that. Let's invite people involved. Let's do different.
And honestly, I felt that Taylor always had that way with us, right? Like, she's such a storyteller. It always feels personal. So people love to decipher everything that's going on because she's, you know, puts in this cryptic stuff as well. So for Taylor Swift fans, because it's a big pastime, any theories you like so far that you've caught on what the songs are about? Or who?
Well,
the songs are about?
There are three main people allegedly written about. We're going to say allegedly because she doesn't come out and say any names. Joe Alwyn, who is her ex-boyfriend. She was in a 7-year relationship with him over the pandemic, and you didn't really see them. And they broke up during her current tour. But, like, you know, she's been on tour for 18 years, so it was at the beginning. So the song So Long London is apparently about him because he lives in London and she would stay with him all the time. So it's saying goodbye to that place. Maddie Healy is the lead singer of the 1975, and they had a really quick relationship and the Swifties were not about it. They did not like him and her together, and they made that absolutely known. And there's lyrics in several songs allegedly about him saying, you know, this was our really quick, fast relationship and nobody liked it, but I stood by it and then it was over. So that's where the darkness kind of comes into, like, you know, the heartbreak from Joe Alwyn, the heartbreak from Maddie Healy, and then Travis Kelce, who is her current football player boyfriend. And she's not even hiding that, I'm going to say. There's lots of football lyrics, like, you want a trophy, the, like, sidelines, you know, touchdown and stuff like that. So...
Was there
a big one? What a way to work it in.
There's a big one. There's a big one. Okay.
There's a big one. Mm-hmm. It's a song called Thank You, Amy. And the letters K, I, and M are capitalized, spelling Kim. What does Kim equal? Kim Kardashian. So everyone says that is about her. Because there, when she was married to Kanye West, Kanye put out a song that mentioned Taylor Swift in not a great light. And there was a whole recorded phone call between Kanye and Taylor Swift where he's asking her if she can be in it. And she's possibly giving her permission, possibly not. It was edited by Kim and posted out there. So they had a whole back and forth about what really happened. And yep, so you can say no, it's about Amy, but when you capitalize K, I, and M, you're talking this Kardashian allegedly.
This is why it's fun talking Taylor Swift.
All right. If you say so. Ryan Reynolds, moving on, is honoring his friend Michael J. Fox for a special occasion. What's this all about? We know he's been named by Time Magazine to one of their top 100 most influential people.
Yep, he was named to the list for his work in Parkinson's research. Fox was diagnosed with young onset Parkinson's disease in 1991 at the age of 29. So they had celebrities write about the influential people or other influential people. So Ryan Reynolds was chosen to write a message about Michael J. Fox. And his impact that Fox has had on Ryan Reynolds' family and others through his work in Parkinson's research.
Tremendous. Wow. It's tremendous because there are so many of the health concerns out there that people are going through, Parkinson's and things like that. And these spokespeople are first-class people at doing it. However, why did Time Magazine choose Ryan Reynolds to write about Michael J.?
Well, they've been friends for 17 years. They're both West Coast guys, both from the BC or Vancouver area. And Reynolds wrote that Fox helped his late father, James, who had lived with Parkinson's for nearly 20 years. So he helped him and millions of others, he says, feel less alone.
Wow. I love it. You know, Ryan Reynolds is just so in touch with Canada on the different levels. Mm-hmm. And when you see these different levels, you never know. Like, you know, somebody can say, hey, man, I wear Canada on my sleeve. I'm a Canada guy and stuff like that. But whether he's going to schools to talk to people in Canada, whether he gets on a, you know, announcements for a transit system or whatever, or supporting a fellow Canadian who, through the circle of relationship and friendship, he can say, and this helped, this, he helped a family member. And mm-hmm. I'm here right on board alongside. I find that kind of unique, Corinne.
Definitely. Ryan Reynolds is a huge Canada supporter because you think Canadian celebrities, you're going to think him. You're going to think Michael J. Fox. That's one that always comes up for me. And they're always there. I read an article this morning talking also about Jay Baruchel, who happens to be from Montreal. Yeah. And he is hugely supportive of Canada, mentions it everywhere, proud Canadian. So there's lots of people that you can look to now and say, yep, those are, well, I guess they call them like homegrown celebs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, thanks all, because it's nice.
Definitely can't complain about having Ryan Reynolds there. Just one more thing about the blurb that he wrote that I thought was really cool. He shared a story about recently watching Back to the Future, which mm-hmm. Michael J. Fox stars in, with his 8-year-old daughter, and says it's become her favorite film. And he writes, quote, I know how lucky I am to call Mike a friend, adding his daughter still has no idea that her dad knows Marty McFly. I don't need to teach my daughter the level of compassion Mike has mastered, or teach her to tell the stories the way Mike tells them. I need to teach her it's okay to fall a lot. It's the absolute best way to know you're flying.
Look at that. On so many
really
levels
good.
He's connecting.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Okay, last things before we let you go is the Coachella Music Festival. It was over the weekend, right? It wrapped up for another year. Lots happened at this festival, and it was 2 weekends. So who were some of the big performers? Let's start there.
Yep. So Coachella happens over 2 weekends every year out on the West Coast of America. And the headliners were Lana Del Rey. So she came out there. Tyler, the Creator, and Doja Cat. So Lana Del Rey was really, really the big one that everyone was watching there. But again, great sets from Tyler, the Creator, and Doja Cat. And so they covered 2 weekends full of music there, and everyone was having a good time. I have, do you want to hear some special guests?
Please do. Because, it's not just about the big performance. Like, Coachella is humongous, especially for collaborations.
Yeah. So Lana Del Rey, as I said, one of the biggest people there. She seems to have the most special guests. Two that I really like, because you could watch the concert online and there's clips everywhere. Billie Eilish was there with Lana Del Rey.
Nice.
They sang Billie Eilish's song Ocean Eyes, and then they sang Video Games, which is a song by Lana Del Rey. And she also had Camila Cabello up. She performed her new single, I Love It, with Lana Del Rey. So artists supporting artists and getting people up on stage and having a good time.
And women collaborating together. Very nice. And there was also an iconic band reunite for the show. Who was it?
Yep, it was No Doubt.
Oh, what a throwback.
I believe that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the first performance since 2015. I'm going to put the rumors to rest now. They have officially said no plans for a reunion tour.
Oh.
So that was their one date for 2024. Yeah, well, at least they came out and said right away. So we're not, holding on to things. And
they were
joined by...
them, though? We're always keeping our fingers crossed.
Yeah, I think they made that decision a long time ago. No more. And I think they've been one that sticks to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just really quickly, Olivia Rodrigo joined them on stage. So it was kind of like, the old pop punk passing over to the new pop punk. And they sang Bathwater, and she wore I Heart ND, so I Love No Doubt tank top. And it was pretty cool to see that. And as you said, Ramya, women supporting women all over Coachella.
All over. Very nice. Thank you so much, Corinne.
Thank you.
Corinne Van Dusen joins us every other week opposite Greg David, and we have our entertainment chats with her.
Up next, folks, a Paralympian has criticized Nike for promoting its products using amputee mannequins when it doesn't sell single shoes. We discuss this story up next on Today's Buzz with Nazreen Abdel-Majid.
Keep it here for more of Kelly and Ramya on AMI TV.
Hi, I'm Ramya Amuthan. Join me weekly for AMI Audiobook Review, the podcast that explores new titles, introduces us to famous narrators, and updates what's hot at the Center for Equitable Library Access. Download episodes of AMI Audiobook Review from your favorite podcast provider.